Anthony, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Can I ask you briefly before we talk about what's been a pretty ordinary day, in fact, a pretty ordinary week and a half.
Indeed.
On the share market. Do you drink?
Oh, I'm actually trying to go on the wagon at the moment. I've signed a book contract, so my deal is that I won't have a drink until I deliver the manuscript. But
was that part of the deal?
No, I just...
Did the publisher ask you to do that?
No, I imposed it on myself, but right. I did have a glass of wine on Sunday night. So it hasn't been strictly enforced, but I am drinking less than I probably have in 20 years,
right,
which is a good thing.
Yes, absolutely is a good thing. You only have little children, don't you? So
yeah, 3, 5, and 6.
So they're not part of that sort of going out to nightclubs culture.
I haven't got any drinking amongst my kids yet,
that's
thankfully.
Right. Is it a concern? I've spoken to a number of parents this afternoon about this, and people who work within the industry, who work in nightclubs and who work at venues, have seen the way in which perhaps they used to get drunk when they were younger, but perhaps not in the same way, where it's all about shots and getting drunk really early and it's all about getting drunk, well, you know the word I'm looking for, rather than the enjoyment of drinking the alcohol. Do you think, are you concerned about
it? Oh, look, consuming the media, yes, that's the perception you get. Certainly the ready-to-drinks, far more conducive to getting smashed more quickly. But, I mean, the statistics show that as a community we're drinking less.
That's true. And they were saying that the thing that skews that, though, is that older people are actually drinking less than they used to 25 years ago, a lot less, and then younger people are drinking more. So the figure remains the same, but the way in which it's made up is significantly changing.
Yeah, I think there's an issue. And I think Kevin Rudd, I think he's on a winner with this. It certainly appeals to me as a parent
as a
with
father,
young kids.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, that sort of old Irish sort of big drinking culture in the Labor Party, you know, like a gamble, like a drink, it would be very sort of almost un-Labor for a working class union hero to sort of get up as a Labor leader and say that. So it shows how different Kevin Rudd is.
Mm, mm. That we want no drinking at all. We're not saying that they want to smash out that sort of culture. But perhaps the whole idea, and they are targeting young Australians and sporting clubs, which is interesting as well. And
it makes sense. I mean, we've got the lowest smoking rate in the world because we have punitive government regulations. We've got the lowest road toll in the world because we have punitive speed cameras and fines and advertising regime. We have one of the best educated communities on HIV because of very aggressive marketing. The two areas that leaves are gambling, where the world's worst, and drinking, where we're sort of mid-table but can do better.
Yes, so perhaps this is the next step on that ladder.
Mm.
Stocks down 9 days straight, 25% off the peak of November 1 last year.
That's
How
right.
How bad is it really? It's no longer readjustment, surely.
Oh, no, it's a bear market. Bear markets are 20%. We're now down 25% or just under 25%. I just find the momentum of it all amazing. I mean, 9 days in a row in which the market's lost $170 billion in value, or 11%. Last week alone was the worst single week since October 1987. And so this is quite a bloodbath. And I'm wondering, the previous record was 13 days of consecutive losses. We managed to notch up 12 losses in a row up until that bloodbath on January 23, when the market fell 400 points in one day.
Everyone panicked.
And it got to 5,222. Today it got to 5,000, this is the All Ordinary, it's got to 5,211. So today we've gone below that January 23 low, and we're now at an 18-month low. And looking at 10 in a row tomorrow. So, I mean, I'm buying into this. I bought another 6 grand worth of shares today, and I'm sitting there, you know, doing my shirt, and it's just real panic. I mean, no one's ever seen this before, a global credit crisis. And Australia's getting hit harder than most, actually, because we've got this $610 billion debt, foreign debt, $1 trillion of household debt, $70 billion current account deficit, you know, 70% of GDP, 7% of GDP. So we're living massively beyond our means, and we're hugely hocked as a nation.
And when things start to go wrong overseas, therefore we're affected.
We can't refinance. So all the pressure now at the moment is on our big banks, because they are strong, world's strongest banks, because they're an amazing cartel that charges huge prices and all that sort of stuff. So we are lucky that we have a very strong banking system, because they are now being asked to shoulder most of the non-banking market, which is basically collapsing. So even Macquarie Bank has come out and said, we're not writing any new home loans. you know, they've got $20 billion worth of home loans and that's it, they're out because they can't finance it offshore. And the dropping like flies, Jeff Kennett chairs a non-finance company there in strife, in negotiations with the banks. So ANZ already in the first quarter of the year has completed, has fulfilled its budget for the whole year for business loans. Because the only people you can get a loan off at the moment are the banks. So our banks are undercapitalized.
Are you saying then that the pain that mortgagees are being asked to shoulder here, which is when the RBA puts their rates up by 0.25% and then the banks put it up 0.4 or 0.3 or whatever, that in fact they're being generous, that they could, it could be much worse?
It's funny. If I was Paul Keating and had control of all the levers, you know, Paul Keating used to famously talk about controlling all the levers, it is just absolutely crazy to have close to the world's highest interest rates at the moment in developed economies, which is what we've got. Everyone else is going down. I mean, the US are cutting like crazy. It just seems ridiculous. And yes, our banks are having to increase by even more than that. And so, yes, mortgage stress is hugely exacerbated. And the Reserve Bank seems to be fighting yesterday's fight. I mean, this inflation thing, the biggest factors in inflation are food and energy, which are totally externally driven. I mean, no central banker in Martin Place in Sydney can affect the global oil price or the wheat price or the cocoa price and these things which are all going through the roof. So I must say, I find the policies of the Reserve Bank to be bizarre, and I think they should be, given that we've just had a 25% haircut on the stock market, plunging confidence, job ads down today, I think we should be actually cutting the official rate of interest.
Which then makes it easier for banks.
For banks to actually increase their profit margins.
Yes.
So I think what should happen is that our interest rate should be 2 percentage points lower. That profit margin, most of it, should go to the banks, and that would beef up the bank's ability to actually refinance this $600 billion foreign debt, which is basically frozen up. Because the foreign credit markets have pretty much frozen very hard to get finance. And so at the moment, we've basically got the situation where we have to start financing our own debt. We can't keep borrowing offshore. This Reserve Bank has run down their foreign reserves from $70 billion to $25 billion over the last 4 months. So they've been pumping liquidity into the system.
Mm.
We now have one of the weakest central banks in the world in terms of just cash reserves. Our federal government keep on telling us they have no debt, but they actually owe $50 billion. Our state governments are borrowing collectively $40 billion over the next 3 years, although bizarrely the Brumby government last week announced a $1 billion surplus because they only include current figures. They don't include any infrastructure spending or capital figures.
That'd be handy for my budgeting at home too, if I didn't have to
pretend you don't have to pay for the extension.
That's right.
I've just made a surplus, although I've just spent $50,000 on my extension.
But that was last year. I'm not going to announce that.
So we basically have this problem in Australia. We've got this massive debt problem and no one admits to having it. So the federal government claims they haven't got any. The state governments keep claiming they've got surpluses. All these companies like Centro and Orco keep on putting out profit statements and saying they haven't got any current debt. That was the great Centro thing they said in last August. We have no debt due in the next 12 months. Turns out it's $2.6 billion. So from the government down...
To the household.
Yeah.
We love to pretend we don't have a lot of debt.
I haven't told my missus about the...
The 6,000 shares.
Yeah, today's 6,000. I haven't told her yet. And she doesn't listen. So and the margin loan, which is now up to $10,000 after today. So I just pretend that it's not there like everyone else. We have this whole... None of this debt exists mentality in Australia.
Yeah, good. You painted a glorious picture there, Stephen. I don't know how we're going to get out. How do we get out?
Well, we've got the mining boom. But the great travesty of the mining boom, you know, the thing that people forget is that 80% of our resources are foreign-owned. So, you know, all those great Mount Isa mines, all owned by a Swiss company. The North West Shelf gas project, $20 billion gas project, only 10% Australian-owned. The great Super Pit gold mine in Kalgoorlie, owned by a Canadian and American company. And even on Friday, last Friday, an American, an Australian company called AED Oil, which is a Collins Street company. So here we are, a Collins Street company, traditional home of mining and resources, flogged off 60% of the Puffin oil field in the Timor Sea to the Chinese government for $600 million. So they've basically stuffed up the way they were developing it. They couldn't get it online. They couldn't pay the bill. So bang, too much debt, the great Australian problem, too much debt. Flog off another asset, flog off a bit more of the farm. In this case, actually, it was the Chinese government, which has come in and bought 60% of our big emerging oil fields. So that's the story of Australia for mine. It's this missed opportunity that we've just continually lived beyond ourselves and had to flog off the farm to pay the bills. And now that we can't keep borrowing offshore, there's actually a bit of a credit crisis. Hence, our market's been hit harder than most others. And yes, you know, we are still got the mining boom and BHP, and this is great. But, you know, we should be, you know, one of the great superpowers of the world economically. And we just sort of, you know, go to the beach mentality. We haven't quite managed to crack it.
I'm depressed now. Is there anything that's light anywhere? How long are we going to be in this state? Is it how much worse?
Well, we've still got great employment, and we're nothing like the US. I mean, at least our housing bubble hasn't burst yet. I mean, imagine if housing prices fell 20 or 30%. Well, that's what I say. Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. Although the thing that will stop that is the fact that we're 20,000 homes a year short of what we need. So, but what could happen, I think, there is you could get housing coming off 10 or 20%, but rents remaining strong. In other words, the demand is strong, but people can't keep on owning their home. They have to rent. So, but look, we've still got full employment. There hasn't been, you know, any mass layoffs. So, look, still great. But I just think, you know, we have suffered a big hit, and a lot of people are feeling the pain from these, you know, this $1 trillion of debt on the households and interest rates going up.
The one person in the country who might be feeling a bit happy would be Mr. Forrest.
Andrew Forrest, although it's funny how you measure this, who is the richest Australian thing. His share price, Andrew Forrest is the founder of Fortescue Metals, which is the big emerging third force in iron ore in WA. But his stock price is off 7% today. So his wealth's come down from $8 billion to $7.5 billion. After we talked about this earlier today about the fact that he's the richest, but I think he still is because James Packer's been taking a fair haircut. Things like Challenger Financial Group, the shares are down 70%, so James Packer's dropped $500 million there. Crown shares, the big casino company, he's got a lot of debt. They're off by a third, so he's dropped close to $1 billion there. And Consolidated Media Holdings is not going to be bought out by his mate Lachie Murdoch now. Their shares are off another 5% today. They fell 10% yesterday. So James Packer is taking a haircut like everyone else, left, right and centre. And I think he's probably down to about $6 billion.
Poor thing.
Yeah, he's getting by on six. And even Rupert Murdoch, their stock's down to $20. So he's down to around $7 billion. So I think the big three at the moment is, Andrew Forrest, $7.5 billion, Rupert around $7 billion, James around $6 billion, and Gina Rinehart, the other iron ore heiress, Lang Hancock's daughter. It's hard to value because it's all private, but based on Andrew Twiggy Forrest, I think he could mount the argument that she's actually the richest Australian, worth maybe eight or nine.
Hey, tell me, is haircut the official term in these?
It's a colloquial, isn't it?
It's lovely. I like it.
Yeah, taking a haircut.
I just have a vision of them all lined up, you know, with little cloaks around themselves.
Bankers line up for their, all taken haircuts in Orco, MFS, all those different collapsing things.
Because we were going to go around the grounds of the debt club, but just to rattle them off, City Pacific.
Well, I like City Pacific because yesterday they promised that they would make a, quote, solid announcement today.
Yes.
Of course, nothing.
Yep.
So they're still suspended. And they've got the big $650 million development down there on the Mornington Peninsula, Martha Cove.
Yes.
I think the Grollos are going to end up taking that over. Right. Because the White Shoe Brigade, City Pacific up there on the Gold Coast, haven't quite managed to pull things off. MFS Andrew Peacock, chair, still suspended. He'll be booted out at a special shareholders meeting on April 7th.
Centra?
Centro shares are at a record low again today, but they'll survive in a slimmed down form. There won't be too much litigation. Now, ABC Learning up again today. Eddie Groves clean out of his shareholding, but the stock's recovered. He's the emperor with no clothes because he owns no shares.
Well, truly, yes, indeed. He needs more than a haircut then.
He does. And even Macquarie Bank shares, the great Macquarie, have fallen 55%. So even the Masters of the Universe, the Millionaires Factory, of getting absolutely pummeled, just like the mini-me Macquarie Banker, Babcock and Brown, which have today fallen again, another 4% today, so they are on the slide big time as well. So every day it's a new...
The mighty are falling.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Lindy.
We live in interesting times.